We'll turn, please, in God's Word again this evening to John 17. John 17, and our text this evening is the verse 18. John 17 and the verse 18. And the Lord Jesus says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent, also sent them into the world." And so praying to the Father, he says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." We'll seek the Lord's face together briefly in prayer. We need the Lord's help this evening. Let us seek his face, please. Our gracious Father, we do thank thee for the privilege of coming around thy word. And Lord, we thank thee that you have given to thy church the gospel. You've committed this message to us, that we might go forth and bear it. Lord, we pray that each one of us will feel that obligation afresh to go forth and to bring this glorious message to men and women. O Lord, burden our hearts, we pray, for the lost. O Lord, open our eyes to see what the Lord sees. Lost souls perishing. Give us a heart of compassion and then obedience to go forth as we have been sent. O Lord, grant us help tonight, we pray. Give that enablement of the Holy Spirit of God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. In this high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus speaks much of how he was about to depart from this world, but the disciples for a time would be left behind. We've already drawn out that theme in some of the studies in this chapter. Now the Lord explains the great reasoning behind that, why he would ascend to glory and leave the disciples on the earth. The reasoning is given in verse 18. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." And so while after the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection, his work on earth would be done, he would ascend into glory, there was still a work to be done on the earth. And that work on earth was to be done by the Lord working through his disciples, through his people. And so the Lord is at work, but he is at work through his church, through his people. And someone has described the book of the Acts of the Apostles as the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And you see them, as the Lord ascended to glory, it was not the end for the work of God, but rather the work was to go on. And the Lord then said, "I have also sent them into the world." Now there is in this verse 18 a great parallel. A parallel between Christ being sent into the world by the Father, and then in turn the Church of Christ being sent into the world by the Son. You'll see that in the verse, "As thou hast sent them into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." And so the Father sent the Son, and now the Son says, "I send my people." Now there is then this great parallel. And there is then a great resemblance between the Father sending the Son and the Son sending you and I as God's people. We have the higher, first of all. The Father has sent the Son, But then, based on that great pattern, the Son has sent you and I, Christian, to carry forth the gospel to the end, that sinners would believe. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And so the Christian is sent. We are sent forth in order that sinners might believe through the word that we bring to them. And we find a very similar parallel in Ephesians 5:25, where Paul said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we have this great high example of love. Christ loved the church. But then, husbands that are in that church, they are to model their love for their wife on that great love. And so Christ loved the church. Husbands, then love your wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. And so here, as the Father has sent the Son, so the Son sends forth you and I. And we could say, as the Son was obedient and came, so then you and I, being obedient, should go forth in response to what the Lord has bidden. Now the word sent in our text is, I have sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them, is the Greek word meaning apostle. And so if we were to translate the verse in that sense, as thou hast apostled me into the world, even so have I also apostled them into the world. Now very often we do use that word apostle in referring to the 12 apostles, and that is quite right. But the word actually has a broader application than that, because the word apostle does mean, as we have here in our authorized version, sent. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, and you'll see that we can speak of Jesus Christ being the apostle in the sense that he is the one that is sent. Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. And you'll see that the apostle there has a capital A. The apostle and high priest, again in capitals, of our profession. And why are they capitalized? Because it is Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our profession. He is then the sent one. And as the sent one, he is faithful. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him? And he was faithful to the one that made him, and that raised him up for this work. Verse 3. This man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Verse 5. Moses verily was faithful in his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. And Christ then is, Christ then is the one that is the faithful one. He has been sent, and faithfully he has obeyed that commission. Now, you and I then, in a sense, are apostles. We do not, of course, possess the gifts of those 12 apostles, but we are apostles in this sense, that we are sent. And as we are sent, we are to, as it were, model ourselves on this greatest model, Jesus Christ. As he was faithful, so we are to be faithful in going forth. And tonight I want us to focus on this analogy, this parallel. The Father sent the Son, so we have been sent by the Son. I want to say, first of all, that these words are showing us the confines of the servant of God. The confines, the the parish, we might say, the district in which the servant of God is to labour. It says in verse 18, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Now it is true that Christ's ministry was mainly focused upon the Jew and the Jewish nation. But his ministry did extend beyond that. Remember in John 4, the Lord spoke there with the Samaritan woman by the well. And the Lord briefly ministered in Gentile districts. Remember that time when he went into the region of Tyre and Zidon. And there he met with the Canaanite woman. And the Lord put her to the test. He said to her, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And the Lord did intervene in her life. So the Lord did have a ministry beyond the confines of Israel. And yet while the Lord's ministry was focused on national Israel, there were certainly indications then of an extending ministry. The Lord then said, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I've sent them into the world." And the ministry of those 12 apostles was not to be limited to national Israel, but the word was to be carried forth. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also I have sent them into the world." And we read earlier in the meeting in John 20 and the verse 21. The latter part of that verse, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And as the Lord spoke these words, the disciples later were to go as it were forth from that room. They unlocked the doors. They took the word first to the Jew, but then it was carried to the Gentile. And sometimes then that word "world" is used in the idea, in the sense of the Gentile nations. An example of that is in Romans chapter 11 and verse 12. It says there, "Now if the fall of them," that's the fall of the Jews, "be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness." And the world there is seen as a parallel term to the word "Gentiles." And so certainly we can apply these words that we're looking at tonight in that sense, that Christ was saying, "I have sent them into the world. I have sent them not just to the Jew, but I have sent them to the nations of the world." And so I'm showing you then that the gospel is not to be confined to one nation. Acts 1 verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And there was there a threefold model. Begin in Jerusalem and Judea. Go then to Samaria. And then go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that was the pattern that the apostles acted upon in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The first 7 chapters involved the gospel being brought to Jerusalem and Judea. Then chapter 8, you have the ministry of Philip in Samaria. So Jerusalem, Judea, then Samaria. And then from chapter 10, the gospel was brought into the uttermost parts of the earth, beginning at the house of Cornelius in Caesarea. Each of those signs, or each of those stages, commenced with signs. And so you have the gospel brought to Jerusalem and Judea, the day of Pentecost. There were signs in Samaria under the ministry of Philip. And then again, there were signs in the house of Cornelius. The Holy Ghost was said to have fallen upon them as it did at the beginning, that is, as at Pentecost. And so the gospel is to be carried to all nations. The door is opened that the gospel would be brought forth. And yet you and I cannot penetrate every part of the globe. There are some that are called to travel from place to place, like the Apostle Paul and John Wesley, talked about the world being his parish, that he went from place to place with the gospel. But most of us are called to be of use for God in one place in particular, with a broadening radius of influence. I have sent them into the world. Now surely those words, into the world, they bring the idea of some degree of affinity, some degree of identifying with people. I have sent them into the world, and therefore God's people are to be in contact with those who are in the world. Now, Christ in his ministry was separate from sinners, yet he was sanctified, as he himself talks about here in verse 19, for their sakes I sanctify myself, I set myself apart, I am holy. And the Lord was separate from sinners, but he was not isolated from sinners. And so some confuse the doctrine of separation with isolation. And they have this idea that to be separated, that we must be isolated. You think of Christ, it said of him that many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When they came, did he get up and leave? Not at all. He spoke with them. He ministered to them. He was sent into the world. He came in human flesh to men. And this is something that we must consider today, for there is a danger that as God's people we can set up a little subculture of our own. And we meet together as God's people in a Christian church. We send our children to Christian schools or homeschool them. We socialize in Christian company. And I'm not speaking against all of that. All of that is important. But we ought not to be isolated. We ought not to be so withdrawn that we no longer have any contact and we lose our effectiveness. We withdraw from their sin, but not entirely from them. And that, of course, doesn't mean we need to be in their clubs. It doesn't mean we partake of their sin. And many have this idea today that, or many use the excuse today, I should say, I can go to the clubs and I can drink and booze because it might give me an opportunity to speak for the Lord. And in reality, it's just a pathetic excuse. They want to have the world's pleasures. They have no desire at all to evangelize. When the Lord was with the publicans and Pharisees, he was gospeling, as it were. He was evangelizing. In no part was he sharing in their sin. Perhaps the reason why we withdraw from the ungodly, and the reason why we isolate ourselves and insulate ourselves, is we fear persecution. We fear suffering. We fear mockery. As the Lord spoke these words in chapter 17, as thou hast sent me into the world, the Lord knew all the suffering that had come as Christ had gone into the world, as he had ministered to publicans and sinners, as he had sinful women come before him. The Lord had suffered on account of all of that. And perhaps the disciples, they could fear, will we suffer as well? And the answer, of course, is yes. But as he suffered, let us go forth. The confines of the servant of God. But I want to see then, secondly, the conferring upon the servants of God. Because remember, we're drawing out the parallel here between the Lord being sent and then the Lord sending us. As thou hast sent me into the world, as the Father sent the Son, and the Father conferred gifts upon the Son in order that the Son would be enabled to do the work that he was commissioned. So the sending was accompanied with that bestowal. He received authority. God sent his Son with authority. You remember what he said in Matthew 28, verse 18. All power, and the word actually is there, authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He was given that authority. Remember then, the Lord having said, all authority is given unto me, he said, go ye there. And so as all authority rests upon Christ, as the Father gave everything into the hand of the Son then says, go ye. How do we dare go when we have no ability in ourselves to convince men and women? We go because Christ has given us the authority. As the Father gave the authority to the Son, so the Son in turn has given us the authority. The authority he received. There was also the anointing that he received. Isaiah 61 and the verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now those words of prophecy in Isaiah 61 are referring to Jesus Christ. Remember how Jesus himself showed that in Luke's Gospel chapter 4. There was one day he was in the synagogue, and the book, the roll of Isaiah's prophecy was handed to him. And this was the portion that he read. And he said, today the scripture is fulfilled before you, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He was the one that was anointed to preach good tidings. And that anointing, it does signify sovereign choosing. The Father chose the Son. But it also signifies equipping. The oil speaking of the Holy Ghost. So the Father then poured out that oil upon the Son. He enabled that work. If you look with me in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 and verse 34. In John chapter 3 and verse 34. It says there, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. God giveth not the Spirit by measure. Or to put it in the positive, God has given the one whom he has sent the Spirit without measure. The Spirit was poured out upon Christ in his fullness. There was no holding back of that anointing. Christ then was full of power, full of that oil, that enabling. Now, as the Father anointed the Son, dear child of God, the Son then is showing us that you and I have been anointed. And there is a difference in degree. Nonetheless, there is that anointing upon you, child of God. 1 John 2 and the verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And today, as you think of the great challenge that it is for you to bring the gospel, and it is a challenge for every one of us. And what a challenge it is today to bring the gospel to this ungodly world in which we live. Brothers and sisters, there is that anointing. The Lord has poured upon us that oil of the Holy Ghost, that we might be enabled to do the work. Luke 21 verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And as we say, I couldn't speak. I couldn't give an answer. The Lord says, I'll give you a mouth. I'll give you the words. We must look to the Lord then, that we might be enabled through him. John Clements was converted through the ministry of D.L. Moody in a gospel campaign in New York. And he penned these words, "Lord, send us forth, nor staff nor scrip, but only in thy might, thy spirit touching heart and lip, to guide and keep aright. Send me forth with that anointing. Send me forth with that spirit to touch my lips and my heart." May we ever keep before our eyes then that there is one who has sent us. And the one who has sent us felt his need of that anointing. Our brother Mr. Cornett last week was mentioning how Christ felt the great need to go and pray for power. He felt his need to cry to the Father for that fresh oil to do the work that he was commissioned to do. And if the Son of God needed that, how can you and I escape the need of it? How we need this anointing. We need fresh oil. We need to be assured that this oil indeed is being poured out upon us. The conferring upon the servants of God. But I want to see thirdly, the commissioning of the servants of God. The commissioning of the servants of God. Christ, he was anointed to preach. I mentioned those words in Isaiah 61 verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." He came to preach. He came to be a servant. To serve rather than being served. To be a minister rather than being ministered unto. He came to save. "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. John 12:47, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And we have this commission that we would go forth. We are sent to see souls saved. Sent to see souls saved. To see souls brought into liberty. The brokenhearted bind up. The liberty being proclaimed to captives. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. Christ, he saved on the basis of his own merit. But you and I are sent forth to deliver ministerially. That is, by proclaiming the message of Christ, we are to see souls saved. And you think of how Christ's focus was on saving by redemption. And what is to be the focus in our message? The great work of Jesus Christ. That great work of redemption. And this ministry is to be done by being sanctified. It ties in with what we were looking at the last time. Verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth." And you see that this idea of us being sent forth, it is surrounded by mention of being sanctified. You and I will only be effective in our work for God if we go forth as men and women of holiness. Men and women who are set apart. The commissioning of the servants of God. And this time it will be the last point. The conquest for the servants of God. The conquest for the servants of God. For if you look with me in our text in verse 18. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." And look up with me then at those words in John 20 verse 21. The second half of the verse. "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And there is then a great parallel, a great similarity between those two verses of Scripture, John 17 verse 18 and John 20 verse 21b. Now, when the Lord spoke the words in chapter 17, he was about to die. And as the disciples heard the Lord pray these words, "As thou hast sent me into the world," humanly speaking, and I emphasize humanly speaking, from the point of view of the ungodly, it seemed as if the Lord's mission was a failure. The Lord was about to be crucified. "As thou hast sent me into the world," and the world around was saying, "You have failed." Yet at the very time when the world was saying that, Christ said, "I'm sending you into the world." Could there have been that question in the minds of the disciples? Is our work going to be a failure? Then in chapter 20, the verse 21, all is changed. The Lord has died, but he has risen triumphant. And the Lord's mission then has seen not to be one that is defeated, but one that is successful, one that is triumphant. And as the ungodly then would have said, "You have been a failure," the ungodly now are silenced. And Christ then, he brings these words. He says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And what can we draw from this then? Surely we can learn this. The Lord has sent us forth not to be defeated, but the Lord has sent us forth to know victory. And as the Lord sends forth his people today, the Lord does not send us forth that the work of God will come to an end, but the Lord sends us forth that the work of God might be more firmly established. That even in these unlikely days, and even in this unlikely place, that the Lord can do a work for his own glory. We ought then to have great expectation. If you turn with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 36, and with this we'll come to a close. Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 35. Ezekiel 36 and the verse 35. We'll read the verse 34. "And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. They shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it." Now there is, of course, a very special reference here to the very days in which Ezekiel was ministering. And as the land of Judah lay desolate, it was not always to be so. The Lord would bring his people out of exile. The land would be planted as again. And that which was desolate would become like the Garden of Eden. That which had been destroyed would become as a beautiful garden instead. That which was trampled upon would be fenced again. The Lord says, "I have spoken it. I will do it." Surely it is right for us to take these words today and apply them to the work of God in a nation like this. The work of God has been trampled upon. The fences have been broken down. The enemy has come in. What is the Lord able to do? He is able to bring forth a beautiful garden afresh. that the ruined cities would be fenced and inhabited again. Look at verse 37 then. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. The Lord has said, I will do it. I have spoken it, I will do it. And yet then he said, for this thing, I have yet to hear God's people pray for it. Is that what the Lord is saying to us today? He has sent us forth, but in our fear, we have withdrawn. In our disappointment, we have withdrawn. The Lord's promise holds good. There will be those times of refreshing. May we indeed take this matter then before the Lord in prayer, inquiring of him that he will visit us again, and that as he has sent us, that we will be sent forth conquering in the Lord's name and seeing the work done for his own glory. We trust the Lord will take his word tonight and bless it to all of our hearts.
Amen. Amen.